Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you. Also, those tuning in online in Mississippi at WYADonline.com. We also welcome those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, including our family at iTunes. We're glad you all could join us as well. Author C.N. Nash is making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about her journey as an author, but also what it's been like for her to create the layers of this book that I had a chance to read called Mirroring Effects. We'll talk to her not only about the writing of the book, but also what it's been like for her to address the issues that are in the book, but also to show how life can be able to live authentically if you're willing to be true to ourselves. If you're just now finding out about Mirroring Effects, I'll let you know at the end of our segment how you can be able to get the book for yourself. But CN, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, doing really good. Glad you could join us. We're going to get into Mirroring Effects here in just a moment. I want to first of all talk about this experience for you. I mean, what was it like for you to be able to not only to have created these characters and now, of course, to be able to share them with the world through the book?
It's been, you know, very humbling. It's been very new. A beauty from ashes type of moment. I was going through my own life changes. My background is in mental health, and so I've had experience with mental health helping others. During this point of my life, I was going through my own journey, so it was kind of a way to get out my emotions and get out the clarity, but also connect other people to, you know, what mental health is. It's been something that's it keeps humbling me. I'm actually working on a sequel right now, and that's just a whole different path in itself. And so I find myself not only as I was able to write about these characters, having layers, you know, unravel and come uncover itself. It's been a very, very great process, and it's been very exciting too on its own.
Right. Well, we're going to talk around some of this, CN, so we don't spoil it for those who haven't had a chance to read it, because we're going to let them know how they can get their own copy. But one of the things that we can say very clearly, because it's even on the back of the book, you know, kind of deals with two sisters, Desiree or Desi, as we're able to get to know her, as well as her sister, Demi. And, you know, we're able to see, of course, how Desi, who is the younger sister, is kind of able to be, as we always see a lot of times with siblings, able to look up to, you know, her older sister. But then tragedy happens, and then everything is kind of thrown into question. The what if question, I want to talk to you about that scene. What was it like for you to kind of put yourself in this situation? Because I should say for readers, the book is written in first person, so you're actually saying I or me as you're reading the book. What was it like for you to become, you know, Desi and to be able to see the world as she saw it?
Getting to know, so one part of character development, I always say it's kind of awkward in the beginning because I want to say, you know, who is this person? So I spend a lot of time really getting to the mindset, and then I literally say I let them take over. And so the ability to translate these emotions was this particular girl who I like to think of as your typical teenager, but this is this particular girl in this particular situation, and these are her emotions coming out. This is how she's choosing to deal with the situation she's in. And so being able to take it from the perspective of this is your teenager and this is just a regular person, I think, and that's what makes her so relatable, is that this is just her. This is her. This is her life. This is how she's choosing to deal with it. And so the emotions that she has is frank. She doesn't gloss over anything. And that's why when, as humans, you know, a lot of times when we're dealing with, you know, with our things and our issues, you know, we think that everything is, you know, rosy all the time. And no, that's not true. At the same time, when we're dealing with some heavy topics such as depression, such as grief, because, I mean, she lost her sister, we're thinking that every moment of every day is dark. I really wanted to show the ups and downs of any journey, the ups and downs of grief, just because at the end of the day, she's still your teenager. She's still your regular person, still trying to deal with life. She's dealing with it in the wake of her sister's suicide, and that shapes her. And so she's still having to deal with boys. She's still having to deal with her parents. She's still having to deal with friendships. But now she's having to deal with you know what, the things that I used to think were true, which is something that we all experience if we go through grief, is the things that we thought were true are no longer truth. And now we're having to rectify and reconcile these two, you know, I would say conflicting things. The things that we thought were true are no longer true. How are we going to deal with it? So with this particular girl, with Desi, she's having to still navigate through high school, navigate through classes, but now she's having to navigate and, you know, the things that I thought I knew about my sister, they're not
yeah.
true. What does that say about me? What does it say about my identity? Because I thought I knew everything, and now I realize there's a lot I don't know. You know, how, I mean, I think we can all relate to in that sense, because as we go through our own life journeys, there are things that, you know, sometimes life happens to us and it shakes up our foundation. The things we know to be true are no longer true anymore. So that part, it kind of flowed. It kind of really actually flowed out in her emotions, you know, because, yeah, even like I said, during this time, I was going through my own life transitions too. And I think that's something that regardless of how old you are, whether you're in high school, whether you're 90, where you're 50, whatever, you know, life still happens and life has the ability to shake us up. And we all go through life transitions. And I think that core is still the same regardless of where you are in life, is that,
right.
you know, how we choose to deal, you know, with life. So, yeah, that part, it actually kind of flowed out. I just took it from a perspective of, this is a teenager and what she's choosing to, you know, and she's having to deal with.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned the parents, Sam, because one of the things that we're able to see in the book is that, you know, this, I mean, and I said this too in my review, I think a lot of times we don't realize, and we're not just talking about suicide or death, but our actions in general can impact people in ways that we could
yeah,
not
right.
have imagined. I mean, I think, you know, for, you know, people out there who feel as though they're not appreciated, they're not understood, they're not wanted, they're not loved, you know, there are so many things that can go through your mind, especially when you're young. There's a very powerful conversation that you wrote with Desi and her father, and basically, of course, the father was this person, as a lot of fathers feel like, you know, that they're the person with, you know, they're strong, they're able to withstand anything.
Mm-hmm.
But even,
mm-hmm.
you know, the death of Demi kind of shows that that's not the case. And one of the powerful things you wrote, Sian, and I want to talk to you about that exchange, is that their father said to Desi, I'm not that strong, not anymore,
yeah.
When it comes to, you know, the idea of losing another child. What was it like for you to kind of deal with not only, you know, those that are left behind, but also the parent and the guilt that they must feel as they're dealing also with their grief?
I wanted to show the humanity. Again, a lot of times, and even Desi does this with Demi, but Desi, that conversation shows that Demi actually did, that with her parents. We have this perception of people, and sometimes it's that humanity. It's taking off that mask. It's that transparency and how, you know, it takes strength to do that. For this father, as you said, head of the household, he had this image in mind as well. However, it shakes up his world, and so in his transparency, he's saying, you know what, I'm still human at the end of the day. I still have my own, you know, doubts. I still have my own emotions. One thing I did is I wanted to use the book to really focus on Desi. However, there are glimpses of the parents processing through their death of their daughter. You know, again, this is kind of a story where you have this picture-perfect family, so to speak. So on appearance, they look like they had it all together. But behind the scenes, we realize there's other things going on and how that shook up his world. The thing is, a lot of times, and I will go even in the mindset of people who may be contemplating suicide, may think that you know, this is the only option, that I want to also show that there is still life after your suicide. There's still people who are impacted. I never want to shame anyone who is going through what they're going through and who may be feeling like that they have no other choice to take their lives. That's why I incorporated Demi's story into the novel so strongly. But there still is an aftermath. I wanted to show the aftermath of Desi's life after her sister's death, but also the impact and the ripple effect that when we make certain decisions, how it doesn't end. You may find that there's a ripple effect, and grief was involved. And yeah, the parents, Desi, and even and even with the parent, the mother too, she was worried. You know, death, it shakes us, and suicide, especially when it's unexpected, it shakes us, even as my experience as a therapist. One
right.
thing that I I've had come to me dealing with suicidal attempts is the parents always say, what did I miss? What did I miss? And this is suicidal attempts. And they're grateful that their child was able to live through it. However, that guilt and shame, because as a parent, you know, you think I should be able to see everything. I should be able to control everything. And when we're dealing with death, especially in the form of suicide, we have to recognize that we're human and there's actually a lot of things outside of our control. This is something that plays with Desi specifically throughout the book, especially her parents too. There's a lot of things outside of our control, and that's a scary feeling. And we have the father break down and say, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do this again. I'm not strong. I thought I was strong enough. I'm not strong enough to handle this stuff. So, yeah, I wanted to show the humanity and the ripple effect of it all.
Right, and it definitely comes through. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Author Sian Nash is with us today. We're talking with her not only about her new book, Mirroring Effects, but also what it's been like for her to be able to create these characters, share them with us, but also the storyline that flows through them. Now, there are some rays of hope in what individuals like Ryan that we're able to meet in the book. I'll talk briefly about Ryan a little bit later, but I want to talk about the importance of knowing oneself, because I think, you know, the thing is, it's so easy for us to look at other people and say how they are. Oh, this person is happy because of the way they look. This person is this.
Mm-hmm.
But what has it been like for you, CN, to be able to show through the character Desi where true happiness can come from and how we can live with that?
So the whole point with Desi's journey, her happiness started as, I would say, superficial, because it was based on everything she thought was to be true. A lot of times it's not when things are going great that we really determine our character. It's when, I say, like, all things break loose and we're dealing with, I say, life. When life happens, how do we truly, how do we deal with the situation? And that's when our characters come out. So Desi, with this particular thing, What threw her through a loop again is that everything she knew to be true wasn't. So she started doubting herself, and she started, but through the process though, again, her layers started unfolding and she started getting a better idea. The thing is, we can be the harshest critics on ourselves. We see this both with Desi and Demi. We can be so harsh on ourselves, and we have people pour into us. And Desi, but still, we can have all the pouring into us. It has to be when we accept ourselves. Desi had to recognize that not only did she have strength that she didn't know about, but it was her flaws too. She had to find that about her sister too. Again, her sister was supposed to be like this. She had this perfected image of her sister, and when she found out her sister wasn't perfect, she kind of went on to the other end of the spectrum and started having like these very negative feelings about her sister and even about herself to a certain degree. But it wasn't until she actually embraced both aspects of herself. The thing is, I love social media. I absolutely love social media, and I love our technology. However, one of the tricky sides about social media is we can get into a comparison kind of phenomenon where we're thinking we're comparing our worth, we're comparing who we are against what we perceive, you know, or our perception of something that's maybe floating around, not understanding that there's more to the story, but also recognizing that, you know what, who you are is who you are. I'm very, very big on embracing. That's something that I use with Dr. Neal, who's a psychologist. She uses that term a lot, embrace, 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 embrace where you are, embrace things about yourself that you may not like. I'm a true believer that every trait can be turned, even if it's a flaw, can actually be turned into a strength if given the right dose to the right person in the right setting. Desi has to learn that, you know what, I may not like some things about myself. I may not like these physical, even physical characteristics of myself, or I may not like this aspect of my personality. However, it's who I am. And when I use that and when I own it and when I embrace it, it actually makes me beautiful because there's no one else, you know, who's like me. But she had to discover that by discovering her sister. There's one thing I say in the novel is that she had to, in order to find her sister, she ended up losing herself. But then she ended up finding herself and recognizing that, you know what, that she actually is incredible in her own right. And that's something that I want to share to my readers, especially my teenage girls who may be struggling with self-esteem, who may be struggling with their identity, to recognize that where you are in life is exactly where you need to be. And in time, you, if you be patient with yourself and if you embrace every aspect of yourself, you are truly beautiful and you are truly powerful beyond measure. That's something I really wanted to drive home with Desi, but also with my younger readers.
Right. So I guess an obvious question would be then, CN, as the author of this book, how did you find a place of comfort in your own skin?
recognizing, and it's still a work in progress. First of all, I want to say I do not know any person who has it all together, and that's even me saying that. I have years and years under my belt as far as clinical skills. However, the things I share and the things I give, even in therapy and even on social media, are the things I practice myself. So I always say, don't think I'm posting stuff just for the audience. I also post it as a reminder to myself to embrace where I'm at. So it's a work in progress. So recognizing that it's a work in progress, recognizing that, you know what, it's okay. There are traits I have to recognize. I don't give this. I'm quirky. I'm a little quirky, and that's a good thing. You know, recognizing that, you know, to some people, they may not like certain aspects, but to some people, they may think, you know, you're the world. But to be, regardless of where it is, to be comfortable where I am, I actually do enjoy my quirkiness. I enjoy it more and more now as I get older, because it gives me this type of sense of humor, and to be able to pull that out and relate it to my clients and be able to relate it to the characters in the book. But recognizing that, you know what, that what God has created and how he, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and embracing that all the more, but also embracing that, you know what, it's also very human to maybe if there's some things I don't like or some things that I'm like, you know, I need to work on that. That's okay too, to be able to admit, you know what, that you are imperfectly perfect. You are flawed, but that's what makes you flawless, is embracing the imperfections, because, you know, it makes me who I am. That's something that I had to go through my own journey to discover that, but also that's something that as I get older and my personality kind of shifts a little bit more and I get a little bit more grounded, you know, with anybody, things change over time and your personality evolves. Embracing that change instead of fighting it, that has been really helpful. And that's something that I will always just encourage everyone to embrace your journey and embrace it.
Yeah. There's an example as people are looking at the cover of the book of Desi looking at herself in the mirror. It reminds me of the one chapter where Zoe gives her a very simple comment about, I like your hair. And Desi automatically goes negative. She doesn't see what Zoe does. I mentioned Ryan earlier. What was it like for you to kind of have, I mean, because we all can have that voice in our head to kind of help us, to motivate us, to show us that, you know what, you're more than what you see. What was it like you to put Ryan in her life, to be able to articulate that to her about who she was and how he saw her?
We all need that person. We can be our harshest critic, and sometimes it takes that other person being objective enough to actually pour the truth into us. We all need that person that just at least one person in our circle that says, you know what, I think you're good. I think you're incredible. In fact, the way you are, even your wild hair, you know, it makes you who you are. And I actually like you, you know. That was a joy. It was a balance. She actually helped Ryan too, because he had to discover things. I think people are placed in our lives for a reason. Whether they pour into us, we pour to them, or it's mutual. Ryan specifically, his role was he saw things in her, and he was patient. You know, he's like, he saw things in her that she didn't see, and he joked and teased her a little bit. But also in the end, it was a humbling experience for him, because he learned from her experience with her sister. You know, so we all need those people who are like, you know what, this is what I see. We all need those people who can pour into us. And so it was fun to write that, to challenge. We all need those people to challenge us too. Ryan definitely was a challenge to her, just because, like I said, he was patient to a certain degree, but at the same time, he was like real. You know, he was blunt. Sometimes you need blunt people in your life to be like, look, you know, this is what I see in you, but this is, you know, this is your stuff. These are your issues. These are, we all need those people to help us. It helps us to ground ourselves. It helps us to keep us humble. But also at the same time, those types of people helps us to push forward. When we doubt ourselves the most, we need people like that to say, no, keep going, keep pushing, because I see things in you. You don't even see yourself. I see greatness in you. I see your love. I see your gentleness. I see your power. But you got to recognize it for yourself. And that's still, even with Ryan saying those things, it had to take Desi herself, and I cannot stress that enough. Desi herself had to recognize that. So, yeah, Ryan could have later on, you know, if we were to draw that conversation, he could say, see, I told you so. However, Desi had to recognize that for herself.
Right. And it's a great reminder for all of us. Again, everyone, CN Nash has been our guest. We've been discussing her new book, Mirroring Effect, and what it's been like for her to share these characters with all of us and the different layers that we've been discussing here, just some of them. There's so much more that I think you all will get from this book. I'm about to let you guys know how you can get it for yourself. I want to kind of step back from the book for a moment and ask you this. Has it sunk in for you now that you are a published author with the book available for the world to read?
Yes and no. If every day is different. Two, I'm still reminded, I'm still human, you know, so it's always great to be grounded. I'm very humbled because more so of the gratitude I have to God, because I had this book in my head in 2007, and I started writing it in 2009, and it took, you know, years for me to actually find that courage to publish it. And so to see, you know, the fruit of it come, to see a promise that was kept, is actually extremely humbling. It's extremely exciting to know that this is what I had this on paper. I'm old school. I'm old fashioned, so I like to write things out. But I had this on paper, and now it's actually in a book where people can pick up. It just reminds me of God's faithfulness, and that the promise was kept. It also gives me courage to push on any time, you know, I think, well, I can't do it. Well, wrote a book, publish a book,
right.
You know, and even hearing people say, you know, everybody has books in them. Certain people actually publish it. This shows that, you know, that it was just very humbling, and it helped me to recognize that, you know what, if I do have a dream, if I do have a vision, it can come true. It's very exciting,
right.
too, especially when I hear readers come back and they comment on them. And it's funny, too, because, like, I love books. I read books all the time, and I can break down a book. And to have these readers break down the characters has just been like, oh, my gosh, you picked that up in the book? Or, oh, my gosh, like, that's exactly what I wanted to convey without, you know, in so many words, and you picked that up. It's been so exciting to connect to the readers and get their thoughts about the book and also how the book has helped them. It's just, this has been, I can't put into words, really. It's been a blessing. It's been a humbling blessing. I've just been grateful. I just have to take it day by day and keep
right.
pushing on because I'm able to do what I love. You know, I truly enjoy writing, and I get to do this, and it's a way that I get to express myself. You know, I write because it helps me to get out my thoughts and to be able to put it onto paper. Now it's published, and now it's connected to people who come back and share, hey, when you put this or when you said this, this is what it did for me. It's like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Right. Well, something now that everyone can be able to enjoy. Again, the book is called Mirroring Effect by author C.N. Nash. You can get your copy through our friends at Amazon.com. You can get, of course, in print or the Kindle edition. Also, make sure you all are staying connected with C.N. You can find her on her website at www.thecnnash.com. Again, that's www.thecnnash.com. So make sure you all take advantage of that. One of the last things I'll mention is something you wrote in the author's note, C.N., and that is, there is no shame in admitting you need help. And I think that's one of the big
mm-hmm.
reminders from this book and a great takeaway from this conversation. CN, congratulations to you again, and thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And we thank your audience for tuning in to this segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with CN, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site, so head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.